How many are excited? I don't know about you, but I am excited. God has said that we're going to be undefeated, and I believe it. Anybody believe that? You taking that as your own? That God has called you undefeated. Let's give a big hand for our worship team. Oh, great. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that you're going to touch our hearts today. You already have started. We pray that you would just stir up, Father, your word. God, as we look at your word, as we look at what you've said over our lives, God, let it make sense. Let us have that aha moment that we can grab a hold of this and we can run with it. God, thank you, Father, that you'd speak something personal. Speak something powerful to us today. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Well, I want to encourage you again. Last week, I told you for the first time, Pastor Corinne and I and the leaders are beginning to read this book called Conspiracy of Kindness. And we'd like to invite you to read the book with us. And we're going to have an awesome discussion at the end of February talking about what God is saying to us through this book. So I encourage you, pick this book up, Conspiracy of Kindness. And we also celebrate today. It's the end of our 14-day detox. Amen. How many took part in the 14-day detox? You got some things out of your life that don't belong, and you got some good things into your life that God wants there. Amen?
Amen.
And so we've been talking about this word, undefeated. Just somebody say it real loud.
Undefeated.
Undefeated. We've been talking about how God is undefeated. He's never lost a battle. How he's building an undefeated church that not even the gates of hell will prevail against. Amen?
Amen.
That there is an undefeated family that God has invited us to be a part of, and that he's given us the Holy Spirit, the undefeated Spirit of God within us. And we have to develop an undefeated mentality to be able to walk in what God has called us to do. So I'm happy to have my wife, co-pastor, Corinne Swilly, up here with me today. And we're going to be bringing this month to a close, but discussing what God has been saying all throughout the month, all throughout the series, all throughout the 14-day prayer and fast. So what has God been saying to you during this time?
Well, I was realizing this morning we're at the end of the first month, and I know a lot has transpired in these first few weeks, right, globally and even in our nation. And I think the strongest word that God spoke to me in regards to being undefeated and where we are right now is to be encouraged. Don't allow the enemy to discourage you, because he's always looking for a way to poke holes and make you feel like, well, is it really my undefeated year? You know, all this stuff is happening or whatever. He'll challenge the word that God gives you. Just know, whenever God has spoken a word, the enemy always comes to test and see where we are on it. So be encouraged. That's the greatest word I have right now.
That's so amazing. And I've just loved what God has been saying to us during our times of prayer and fasting. The morning prayers were just amazing.
Yes.
And we were talking to some of the team, and they're like, man, we should keep at least one morning a week where we can come together and pray, because those were just spectacular.
Yes.
But we're coming off this series, of course, we're not letting this series come out of us. We're running with it. But what is one of the biggest takeaways that you had from the Undefeated series?
How important it is to guard your thoughts, how to guard your mind. I'm so thankful for the word that God spoke through Francesca. You know, that was so, it's critical to our success is where we are mentally. What is our mind rehearsing? What are we allowing to become great in our minds, right? So whatever thought that you elevate and agree, you give it power. So when we get this thought, we have the power, just like the word says, to cast it down. If there is a negative thought, grab it from the beginning at the root. Because what happens is when we don't, it begins to snowball. So it's so important we take captive every thought and make sure it's under submission to what God's word is. Is it lining up or is it not? We have to measure it.
It's all how you see things. If you want an undefeated life, you have to have an undefeated mind. You know, when we get our heads wrapped around what God is saying to us in this season about being undefeated, it changes the way you look at things.
Yeah.
It changes the way you talk to people. It changes your goals. It changes how you look at opportunities. The Bible is full of these amazing promises, but it's not going to make a difference in your life if you don't wrap your head around it and say, I believe it.
Yes.
I'm ready to walk into these things. And this is exactly what Paul was talking about in Romans 12, 2. He says, don't be conformed. Stop thinking like the world thinks. Stop thinking like you used to think and think a different way. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it starts in the mind. You know, we have a spiritual experience. It's got to filter into the way that we think. And
Correct.
Then it begins to affect our behavior. It begins to affect our lives. But we've got to change the way we think. So we talked about the way we think. We talked about our God. That's
yes.
the foundation, that we have an undefeated God.
Right.
But I think a lot of people in our culture, there's different views on God. And even in the church, we see God in different ways.
I think that some people really grab the revelation of us being an undefeated body. And I mean this not just in this house, but across the board. Some people really get it. Like, God has empowered me to succeed, to overcome. And there are others that I think sometimes we allow reasoning or just doubt, like maybe God doesn't move that way anymore. I haven't seen him move like that for me. I see him do that for other people. And those are the things that we have to get rid of, because they really hinder us from fully walking in what God wants to do for us and through us.
It takes discipline, you know.
Yes.
It takes perseverance not to think defeated.
Yeah.
You know, this world is full of thoughts that would cause you to think, well, maybe I'm not going to win. You know, maybe I'm going to be defeated. So it takes perseverance. It takes
yes.
like a tough mind, a mind that's disciplined to say, I'm not going to be defeated. And when it comes on to God, I think many people have different thoughts of God.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, some people don't believe in God at all. Some people have a limited view of God, that he only runs in certain lanes. He only does churchy things with churchy people. But the truth of the matter is when we get an undefeated view of God, it's like we're taking him out of the God box.
Right.
Many times, even as Christians, we put God in a God box. God can move this way or this way or this way, but we don't really consider that he can move in all these other ways.
Yeah.
We serve a limitless God. He can move however he wants to move. He can bless you however he wants to bless you.
Right.
He can help your family in any way he wants to help your family. He can cause you to be undefeated in creative ways you haven't even thought of yet. And so I think it makes a major difference in how things play out when we see our God as undefeated.
That's right.
You know? So let's talk about the church. How should this revelation affect the church?
Well, I think understanding the word, everything that God speaks over us is always life-giving. And the Bible says that he's coming back for a spotless bride. When I think of a spotless bride, I think of beauty. I think of something that has been perfected. I think of someone who has prepared themselves, you know, and we are his bride. If we are his bride, he's not coming back for a broken or a crushed or a crippled bride. He's coming for a beautiful, spotless, victorious bride. So with that in mind, we got to walk that out. We say, you know what? Even though we see this, we see persecution here, we see that there, you got to discipline your mind to say, I know that God has empowered us. The church is on the move. The church is rising up. I don't know if you're seeing it, but I'm seeing people that have been kind of like sitting on the sidelines or dormant begin to rise up and say, you know what? We as the church need to stand our ground on our faith, and we need to push forward as a unit. Not as different sections, not as different denominations, but as one body, one voice, and one accord to really make an impact.
I think that this word reminds us. It's a reminder of who we're supposed to be.
Yes.
You know, unfortunately, there's many people still in the body of Christ that don't see themselves that way, that they haven't wrapped their heads around the reality and the vision that God has for his church, that mm-hmm. Jesus had when he created the church. The vision that Jesus casted is that not even the gates of hell is going to beat us.
Right.
We always win. We are the winners, not the losers.
Amen.
So I think, amen? So the more we see ourselves as the church, the way God sees us, it's going to change how effective we are. The more we see ourselves the way God sees us, the more it changes how effective we are. We talk different. We think different. We act different. And it's a huge revelation. Some have got it, and some still need to get it so that we can fully be the bride that God has called us to be. And I think that's an incredible word, the bride.
Yes.
The Bible calls us the bride. The church, his church is the bride. Jesus returning for the bride. Now, how many men do we have in the room today? All right, so men, when you are going to try to find a bride, are you looking for somebody average?
No.
Just somebody good enough, you know? Yeah, they're good. They're all right. No, Jesus is returning for a bride that's got it going on.
Right.
A bride that's got it together. They're powerful. They know how to articulate the vision. They know how to look. They're beautiful. They're spotless. They've got their act together. And so we have to understand God is not returning. Jesus is not returning for a defeated bride, but rather a beautiful bride that is winning. And so he's already given us his spirit. He's already given us the tools.
Right.
And so the Bible says that he's actually on the right hand of God the Father. He's waiting for us to make the earth his footstool. So that sounds like a bride that knows what they're doing. That sounds like a bride that's in authority.
Yep.
And I think it's a different way of thinking.
And I think it's so interesting that, you know, a lot of times we are waiting on him when, you know, we should be actively preparing ourselves. A bride, when she's getting ready for her wedding, she is preparing herself, right? She's getting herself ready. She's making sure she has everything that she needs to look beautiful. And if you go back into Bible time, they would take months and months and months of like beauty treatments and oils and this and that. And it would be a whole process.
Especially if you're going to marry a king.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, here we are. And sometimes we're at the people are waiting, and we need to be making sure every day that we're walking in this preparation to make sure that we are ready for him.
Yeah. So the last days of the church, yes, of course, the Bible talks about it being dark time upon the earth. And yet, for some people that are away, far away from God, it's the worst of times. For people in the body of Christ, there should be more signs. There should be more wonders, more miracles, more healings. We begin to see the church rise and do what it's supposed to do. And it's a huge revelation. So what do you think it's going to take for the rest of the church that hasn't got this revelation to really, really get a hold of it?
The Lord's been speaking to me about a perspective shift. It's so important for us to change our perspective from this victim mentality to who God has called us to be, because it says it in his word, but sometimes we get familiar or we, you know, just see what's going on in front of us. And, you know, I'm reminded of real life people, because we work with people, right, all the time. And it's the difference between a person, you have two people that are both believers, and they have different challenges, but many challenges, right? And you have one person that says, man, I've gone through so much, and I just keep on going. Every time I think I've overcome something, the devil comes and does something else. And, you know, it's full of negativity. It's full of defeat, that mentality, versus a person who can say, you know what? The devil thinks he's got me, but I got something for him. You know, no weapon formed against me will prosper. And somebody who's full of faith and the word that can speak to their situation, that can put a stop on the enemy's actions and say, I am more than a conqueror through Christ. I want to point out something. You know, this week we had a celebration, a homegoing celebration for one of our members. Her father passed away. And one of the things that I saw, it was a beautiful post that I saw her post, and she said, you know, God didn't heal my father the way I thought he would, but he healed my father. And I thought, how beautiful perspective. You know, we have to get outside of, man, I really wanted this, and see, I have plans to prosper you. What the enemy intends for evil, I will turn it for your good. If we can't just know the word, we've got to live it. We've got to have it active in our lives every day so that when we're walking, we don't just say it because we're saying it. We're actually believing, joining our mind and our faith with it. And then it gets power and goes, you know, it moves forward.
I think you hit the nail on the head because a lot of times in our culture, we have a one-dimensional view of being undefeated, or we have a one-dimensional view of being blessed. But actually, when we see things from God's standpoint, we begin to have a multi-dimensional view of blessing, of being undefeated, that even in death, we can still win.
Yes.
Even when it looks like everything is against us and all the odds are against us, we can still be winning.
Yes.
Why is that? Because we're able to see things by the Spirit and see that the natural, that's just one dimension. That's one side of a multifaceted part of what God is doing. So I thought that was beautiful. I didn't read the post, but that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes we need an interruption for God to intersect with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think many believers still need this. And I think our prayer in our heart should be that everybody really grabs a hold of this, because that the vision is that God's church wins.
And sometimes those interceptions they come from places we wouldn't expect.
Oh, yeah.
We're waiting for those moments that God is like going to open the heavens and speak something and the change is going to happen. But many times he's giving us direction and he's giving us a word through the most unexpected places or people. So we have to be careful not to cancel those things out and reason those things out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe it was Elijah that there was the storm and there was the hurricane and there was this and there was all these powerful things that happened, but God spoke to him in the still small voice.
Yes.
It was a really humble, practical, thing that didn't seem huge, but that was what God was speaking through. Yes,
right.
God does speak with the fire from heaven sometimes, but other times God speaks through the still small voice, and we have to be able to hear both of those things. And sometimes God intersects and saves our life in the middle of a car accident. We have an epiphany moment and boom, it's powerful. Or there's some moment and you're crying, you're weeping on your knees. But then other times it's just in a beautiful, peaceful moment that God says something even through somebody.
Right.
And so just hearing God and allowing him to intersect with our lives. And we talked about the undefeated family also. And I love this concept of the family, that God is inviting us in to be a part of his family. His family is undefeated. When we get connected to his family, we become undefeated. And he gives us the ability. Jesus, when he came, gave us the ability to be called sons and daughters, to become sons and daughters. And that's incredible. What does that mean to you?
I think it means access. I love that he uses sons and daughters. You think about that, and also when he calls us the bride, like those are all intimate relationships, right?
Yeah.
They're meant to be. They were designed to be intimate, close relationships. It's not a distant, you're over here, you're just a servant, you're, on the outside, but he's brought us in on the inside. So when I think of us and our kids know that they have access to us. They can ask for anything that they need. They can ask whenever they need something. And they have access to us, and they have an inheritance, over time. And we have, if the Bible says that, we as earthly beings, right, a father will take care of their children, how much more will he look out for us, right? We forget these things, and it's like we have this inheritance in him, everything that we need. Everything that we need, everything that we face, we've already been given the not just the outcome, but the tools to get there. So it's important for us to remember, I have this access, so you should be able to draw at any point from your Heavenly Father and say, God, I need this from you. If you lack in the area of patience, ask him for patience. If you lack in the area of joy, ask him for joy. If you lack in an area with finances, I'm such a proponent for finding scriptures of whatever you're facing and then make it a place of declaration for yourself every day. And sometimes honestly, being real, at first you feel like nothing's happening sometimes. But the more that you rehearse it, you begin to see things change because his word is quick and powerful. It is alive today, so it cannot return void. So I encourage you, if you're at the place where you're like, I don't know what scriptures, Google it, find somebody, get together with somebody, whatever it is, if it's lack, if it's depression, if it's relationships, just find scriptures that can counteract what the enemy has tried to attack you with, and you'll see something begin to change.
I love that. Apart from him, we're limited. Connected to him, we're limitless. Right. You know, this is what's so beautiful about being in his family. Apart from him, we were limited. We were limited before we came to God. But connected to him, with him, we're limitless.
Right.
And I love what you said, inheritance. Once we were distant, the Bible said. Once we were distant, once we were strangers, once we were even enemies of God. But now he has called us his family. He's called us his children. He's called us sons and daughters. He's called us friends. So this idea of having proximity and accessibility to his promises, having a new name, having a new identity, that's what is happening to us when we're part of his family. And I think far too often we really lose the value of that. Mm-hmm. You realize when Jesus showed up and he started talking about that he was the Son of God, they wanted to kill him. That was hypocrisy. That was heresy in that time. And so Jesus introduced this whole new level of intimacy, of family that wasn't there before, that wasn't understood before. You know, there was moments that certain people understood it. Abraham understood it. He became a friend of God. But there's a lot of people in between that they saw God from a distance. But now we are understanding that we don't just serve God. He's invited us to be sons and daughters. We're not just servants of God. We're children of God. And that's love. That's relationship. That's God inviting us into something so special. So tell me what was the transformation in your mind when it really clicked in your faith walk, mm-hmm. that you had a new identity, that you were part of God's family?
So I always grew up in church, and I knew, you know, all the things that you learn, that God loves you. You know, I knew he loved me. I knew that he had a great purpose for me. I think along my journey growing up, I had begun to put a lot of limitations on myself and say, well, I know God has called me to do these things, but, you know, how am I going to get there? And I thought it looked this one way, and, you know, and then I just started thinking, maybe I don't have the capacity to do that. Maybe I misread it. And so at a certain point, I remember just saying, God, I just want what you have for me. I want you to help me see myself the way that you see me. Because we, through our own vision, can put limits on what God is doing. But if we put on his eyes, his vision, we can begin to see what he's wanting. You know, so he gives us these visions for his plan for our lives. And many times it's bigger because we're supposed to be dependent on him, right? The word says not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, by his Spirit. So we have to be able to get outside of ourselves and say, God, let me see myself the way that you see me. And it took me from a place of at times feeling like I might be defeated in this area to saying, you know what? Your word says differently. I am this person. I am who you've called me to be. I am accepted. I am loved. I am powerful because of your Spirit. So, you know, and I want to encourage you. Maybe you're like, man, I haven't had that experience where, like, I have this big vision. Ask God to give you eyes to see what he has in store for you, and he will begin to show you. He'll begin to open up your eyes to see the great things that he has in store for you. But our job is not to poke holes and to pull apart something that God has spoken to us. What our job is to take the word and begin to apply it and say, I'm going to stand on this. When we've done all, we stand and we wait to see his word manifest.
Yeah. Sometimes we have that voice in our head that's saying you're not good enough. You've got too many faults, or you're not you're not way up here. But the truth is, even though we have faults, he sees something in us.
Yes.
He sees something in us. He's chosen to give us the offer to come into his family, to be a part of what he's doing. So even though we have things that we're still working on, we're still growing on, we're still growing through, he sees something in us. Yes. Yeah. He's saying, I love you. I want to use you. I want you to be a part of my family. I've chosen you to be a part of my church. And so he gives us his spirit. And I think that's something also that we take for granted. The undefeated Spirit of God is living inside of us. When we realize that, we realize that all things are possible. Yeah. It's not possible when I try to do it by myself.
Right.
God has told us some things to do. Jesus told us some things to do, some commands of Christ. We can't do those in the natural.
Right.
But we can do them if we have the undefeated Spirit inside of us. You have some personal things, some customized dreams that God has given you. Personal mission that God has given you. You can't do that on your own.
Right.
It's impossible. But with the undefeated Spirit inside of you, all things are possible. You're more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer. You're a winner. God has called you undefeated. And so I love this when we really realize, because far too often Christians, they get it, but then they lose it. They have the revelation of the Holy Spirit, and they invite him in, and they got him there, but then they forget that he's there, and they go back to their normal lives. They go back to doing things the way that they did before, just in the natural, just in their own ability. And it's always mixed results. You can't be undefeated without partnering with the undefeated Spirit of God.
I think it's important to know that the set of gifts that God has given us, like our the things that we're good at, are meant to be propelled by the Holy Spirit. When we get kind of confident in the success that comes from having the Holy Spirit, and we begin to kind of leave him out and do it on our own strength, yeah, that's when we start to encounter defeat. Because at that point, you're trying to do it in your own gifting, your own strength. So it's so important that we don't lean on our gifts, and that we really become dependent of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. The Holy Spirit changes everything.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit, he when he works with us, he's transformational. He transforms our life. It's a game changer. He changes everything.
He changes everything, and I think it's important to invite him in our lives daily. You know, I think people kind of get used to he's there, and they focus on Jesus, or they focus on the Father, but the Holy Spirit was who Jesus left with us to be our everything, to give us the gifts. He's like our toolbox, right? He's got the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. And if we're really wanting to live this undefeated life, we have to be able to have those things active. Our daily prayer in our household with my kids, I always pray with them. I said, Holy Spirit, let your gifts be active in our lives daily. Because it's so important. In our flesh, we all have weaknesses. But the Spirit is what empowers us to get beyond those weaknesses, to be able to walk in things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, right? Even, I mean, people leave things out like addiction. What is the opposite of that? Self-control, being able to have self-control. So when you pursue the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, you begin to live this very powerful life that you can only live when you're dependent of the Holy Spirit. So whether it's comfort, whatever you need, ask him. And that's why, you know, I was mentioning before that when we do worship here, I say it a lot, and I say, Lord, have your way. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. I always want to roll out the mat for the Holy Spirit to be welcome, because if we don't, then what do we have? You know, like I want to know that his presence is here. I want him to know that it's him that we're here to meet. It's not just us singing songs. It's not just us having a good time in church, you know, but it's about us really making room for him to do the changes in us that need to happen, to when we're worshiping, for healings and things to happen in his presence, because we've made him so welcome.
That's so good. Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm going away. The one that's been the one that's taught you, the one that's your Messiah, the one that's the healer, the miracle worker. I'm going away, but I'm sending you somebody else. And he's going to comfort you. He's going to empower you.
Yes.
He's going to be with you. He's going to give you the gifts that you need and the tools that you need to be successful. The truth of the matter is, without the undefeated spirit, we can't accomplish the mission that Jesus gave us. The mission remains incomplete without the undefeated spirit. And it's so important. We have to get this mentality to complete what God gave us, to complete what Jesus told us to complete. To do that, we got to have the Holy Spirit. We got to have the Holy Spirit, not just in our lives and on the bench. He has to be involved, active, invited daily.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, I need you to partner with me today. Holy Spirit, help me. Give me strategy. Help me win. Help, you know, show me what fruits I need to use. Show me what gifts I need to use. Show me what tools I need to use today to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many times I think we sit around wondering, how in the world am I going to accomplish what God has placed in my heart? I got some dreams. I got some things that I know God said to me. I don't know where to start. We have to turn to the undefeated spirit that God has placed inside of us, the Holy Spirit. He is the game changer. He gives us the ability to understand what we need to understand, to have the strategy that we need to have the power that we need to have to win. So, how does this undefeated revelation and mentality fit into our year? You know, I don't want this just to be a slogan. One of the worst things that can happen is we take something that God said to us that was powerful, and we just use it as a catchy slogan. Don't do that. Don't do that. Make it a different way of looking at life. Make it a part of how you see the world, of how you see people, of how you see the possibilities of what God can do and wants to do in your life. How do we do that? How do we take this from a great series to a part of us?
I think it's very important that we keep the gospel simple. Sometimes we get really into specific ways of doing this. We have to have all these strategies and all these things, but it's very simple. He said he was going to leave us the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. So we have to partner with him daily. It's not just on Sunday or when we remember, daily, and ask him to lead us. We need to read the word, because it's not just, like I said, it's not enough to just know a few key scriptures. You need to understand it so that when you face a challenge, the Holy Spirit will say, remember this word, and he'll bring it to your remembrance, and it'll be right on time. So you have to have that, and you got to talk to him. Talk to him about everything. I tell my kids, when you're praying, you're talking to God. You're telling him, I had a rough day, or God, I thank you for this. Or we need to communicate with him daily. And then his spirit will lead us into how to pray, what to do. So it's just, it's that simple. Knowing, like studying the word daily, praying daily, and then asking the Holy Spirit to lead your way. You know, we forget those things. It's just very simple, and it brings us so much power. So much power. His spirit is what gives us the power.
I love taking it to a practical place. It sometimes we stay up here and it stays here theoretical. It sounds good. It preaches good. But I want it to live good.
Yes.
I want it to be practical in our lives. I want it to not just be a slogan. I want it to be a part of us and invade our life, invade our family, invade our purpose, invade our church, invade the way we think. I'm undefeated. I'm a part of God's undefeated family. I'm part of God's undefeated church. The mission that God has given me, if I walk in it, if I partner with the undefeated spirit, I'm going to be undefeated. Everything I put my hands to will be undefeated. Every place the sole of my foot touches, I'm going to be undefeated. I don't just want to say it. I want 100% for that to be me. If you believe that, would you stand with us and let's agree together And let's pray this thing. Let's pray this thing into us today.
Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity in your presence, God, and we just open our hearts wide open to you, Holy Spirit. We say, have your way in us. Lord, we submit our mind to you. Let the mind of Christ be in us. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to uproot and take out anything, God, that is hindering your spirit from doing what you need to do, from us thinking the way that we need to think, from us seeing the way we need to see. Right now, we choose to shut our ears to any external voice that is not your voice, Lord. And we thank you, God, that you would just speak to us clearly, God. I thank you for clarity. I thank you are a God who speaks today. You are a God who is alive and well. We thank you, Lord, for your word that is quick and powerful. I pray, God, that you would give us all a hunger for more of your word, more of you, more of your presence, God. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would remind us when we need to spend more time, that you would remind us, Lord, when we need to go back to the word, God. Remind us of the areas, Lord, that we need to surrender. And we just thank you, God, for the times, these words that you give us, Lord, that we treasure, God. And we ask, Father, that it would take deep root. This word would take deep root in our hearts and bring forth much fruit. God, we don't just want to speak these things. We want to be a full demonstration of this word. God, I thank you that you have made us to be more than conquerors. We declare it over ourselves this day. We are the undefeated church because of you. We are the undefeated family because of you. We are undefeated people because of you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for this word. And we bless your holy name in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's give God the praise today.